Welcome back to the Better Everyday Podcast, where we're unlocking our best self, one episode at a time. My name is Grace Garcia, and this is my husband, David Garcia.
Yo.
First, let's start with life updates. What exciting new venture did you begin this week?
I have started proper swimming classes. I honestly didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if I was going to be with a bunch of like 13-year-old kids. But granted, I have two friends doing it with me, Irvin and Marvin. But it was a couple older ladies and one other guy around our age. And yeah, we're just jumping right into technique, which is cool. I honestly thought it was going to kind of be like, hey, let's be comfortable in water. Let's learn how to float. Mm-hmm. I might not never learn how to float. I might just be just, as long as I'm paddling, I'm good.
Maybe you should bring that up to the instructor.
Nah. But yeah, that's all the updates that I have. It's just, finally started swimming class.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hopefully we see him doing a triathlon next year.
Next year or the year after that, one of the two.
But yeah. That'd be awesome.
How about you?
Well, I'm about to do my half marathon on Sunday, which I'm a little worried because I don't know if you guys can tell by my voice. Something's up with my throat and like congestion. Now that I think about it, it could be because my coworker, she's running a marathon too, and she says her allergies are flared up because of our floor. So like long story short, our classrooms are kind of filthy. Today I did Pilates, and Pilates is what, low impact? Like that's how it's you say it. So you're not really... I usually never get out of breath or anything, but towards the end of the class, I was finding it like hard because of my congestion. I'm like, oh my goodness, if this is how it is with Pilates, I'm getting a little nervous. I'm not going to lie. Hmm. So I just hope that, I don't know, it goes away. I'm probably not going to work out for the rest of the week just to try to rest my body.
You should do one run on Saturday, like two to 3 miles. To do 2 to 3 miles? Yeah, you can find time.
Okay, we're going to do 2 to 3 miles.
They call that a shakeout run.
I know. I was trying to plan it with Nancy. Shout out, Nancy. But we have a lot scheduled that day. Because I just thought of something else that we didn't put on our agenda. But, I'm excited because I know I'm going to have fun. But I'm just nervous of, like, my breathing situation. So we'll figure that out. But hopefully... a lot of rest. I'm gonna be on a lot of rest and not putting strenuous activity this week will help. But yeah, I think that's all the updates I can think of right now that I want to share.
Okay.
It's my turn to lead this podcast, and it actually was inspired by a conversation we were having earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
About like what you do in secret, like, will always come out. And that can be positive or negative.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's like what you do in your secret place. The discipline, determination, like, will bring reward out into the, like, be manifested. God will bless it. Or what, like, the sin, and it can even be, like, the laziness or whatever you do in the secret. Like, that will be reflected as well. So it doesn't have to be, like, all just positive or all just negative. I'm talking about, like, that, just that principle overall. Because I feel like, I don't want to say our lives, but at least for sure mine, I think that has been evident. And I can think of, like, bad and good situations.
Mm-hmm.
And so... yeah, I think that principle is so powerful. I think it's so needed because it's so easy to, for example, like want to perform a good run, a good marathon, a good race. And then I think it's usually obvious to the audience, to the spectator of like, oh, they were putting in work and like it was their time. Or, oh, they... they are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it'll all come out to the light at the end of the day. There's nothing that we can hide. I think that the Bible talks about the principle. And so I want you to like reflect in your life and think, again, could be good example or bad example. Like, where have you seen that principle be lived out in your life? Or do you agree with the principle?
The principle you're talking about is doing things in private. Mm-hmm. Before we get to that, I want to ask you, what does it mean to do things in private? Does it mean that you never post anything and you keep everything completely secret? Does it mean that you post here and there and you don't show all of the picture? What is
that look like?
Yeah.
I think that's obviously like subjective to whoever's answering. For me, when I think about it just right now, as you ask me, I think of like the intention of you're not doing it for the people. You're doing it for yourself, or it could be like to bless others or whatever, but it's not like because like I'm waiting for their affirmation or applause per se. And so like if you post, it's like here and there, like maybe to encourage or like inspire others or even like because you're proud of yourself. But it's not, I am doing this to post so that I get fed that affirmation. Does that make sense?
So then it's not so much about private or public. It's more about the why behind why you're doing it.
No, I think the reason why I say private is because it's day in, day out, day in, day out, these habits. And so you're not posting every single day. Mm-hmm. It's things that people are not seeing because you're doing it day in, day out. And no one is observing your life in that capacity, unless, of course, it's like your spouse or your family. But the rest of the world, even social media, they're not seeing your day in and day out.
Yeah, I guess you're right in regards to like it being subjective, because I know that for some people, if you say private, that means it's all locked down. Like
no one knows.
Nobody knows. And if and when they find out because the person wants them to find out. The people will find out if and when, like, let's say, for example, like I'm not letting anybody know that I'm on this fitness journey and I'm doing everything. I'm not really working out with anybody. I am not publicizing anything, and then all of a sudden one day like I decide that I'm going to do a marathon, and then my picture is just my medal, and everyone goes, oh my gosh, like what, we didn't know.
Yeah,
for a lot of people, I think for more literal people, that's private. Okay. That's living in the private, whereas let's say your version would be, I'm going to post here and there. And I'm going to let people know that, for example, I'm running. I'm going to let people know that I'm faithfully journaling and having my time with God every day. Like, so like your version is like, let me like,
it's not private.
It's not that private. Like I get you in regards to like, yeah, they don't see your day in and day out. Like it could be that you actually only do this once a week, but you make it look like you do it every single day. And so people don't know, like, is this just like a...
Because I feel like I don't post that I'm journaling every single day.
No, of course not. But you have talked about it. Yeah. You've talked about it here.
Or like people don't see me strength training. Or people don't see me do Pilates. Mm-hmm. Like I'll post a little bit more about my run. But they're not seeing, like, I guess my meal preps every single week. And so that's why, maybe it's not private, but...
I would call yours like semi-private. And this is coming from a literal person,
though. Yeah, okay.
Right? Again, subjective. But yeah, I would say like for the literal person, like yours is like semi-private. Like I'm not going to show you everything, but I am going to tell you like I'm on a journey. And like people might be like, oh, like tell me more about the journey. And then, you know, like it sparks curiosity. It sparks like interest. It sparks... Oh, like maybe I want to do that.
And I guess that can be even a conversation in this larger conversation of like, is there a benefit to being super duper private? Like how you say like literal, like, okay, don't post anything until the outcome. Mm-hmm. Or is, do you feel like there is more benefit in slowly sharing your journey? Like not, I think
it really depends on the person. And okay. Sometimes it's about the person's personal journey. Sometimes it's about the person's purpose in regards to like, let me share it so other people can be inspired and do it too. Yeah, some people might feel the need that they need to hold it private. Like when I was going through my whole therapy thing, I found out that I am basically a people pleaser and I do feed off people's affirmations. Mm. And so I had to learn how to do things just for me. And instead of posting about it or sending something in a text or whatever and to get people to be like, oh my gosh, like that's awesome. I had to learn to not do that, like hold it close to the vest and then just give myself those affirmations. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you have to hold it, be more private about it because, you know, I'm going through my own personal journey. Sometimes, like yourself, I'm sure that the reason why you share the things that you share is because you want to be encouraging to other people. You want people to know, like, not exactly, you want people to know that it is possible. I think that is one of the biggest parts of your message, that it's possible. And I've heard you literally say basically those things, and I've seen you live it, where you're kind of like, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a teacher, these are the hours that I work, this is everything that I have to do, extracurricular, I work out, I do ministry, I do all these things. Like your message basically with how you live your life is there are no excuses. Like if you want to do it, you can do it. Mm. Just be organized, be planned, you know, like, but yeah.
Okay. So going back to the question, is there a moment in your life where you saw that principle live out, where you were doing something again, whether it's positive or negative, and like the secret, and without you forcing it to come to light or like to bear fruit, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think all the hard times that I had living with my family pre-marriage, I think those are things that we had to keep private, really. Nobody really talked about it. It was just within our own family circle. And I think going through all that, again, my go-to verse has always been Romans 8:28, I want to say, or 18. One of the two, 18 or 28. But it basically says, like, the sufferings that you're going through right now, don't compare to the glory that's ahead of you. Mm-hmm. And so perseverance, endurance, strength, courage, all these things were practiced in private. And ever since those days, whenever I'm faced with something that's hard or challenging, I go, if I went through that, I could go through this. And it's not something that I have to boast about. And it's not something that I have to be like, well, I don't have to tell that story for it to be true. You know what I mean? Like when I go through something hard, I'm just like, hey, I'm going to do it. And, you know, there have been times where people go like, how? And when they ask how is the opportunity to like kind of like tell my testimony. Just like, hey, this is what happened. This is what I went through. This is what I learned. And now I can do these things now because I went through all that.
Yeah.
So I think that's an instance where stuff was done in private and it came out to light.
That's a good example. But yeah, because you said you obviously didn't like mean to keep it private, right? It was just something that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I meant to keep it private. I mean.
Oh, you did.
It's not like I wanted to boast to the whole world, hey, this is what we're all going through. Like. I mean, I think there are some people like that, but a lot of people kind of tend to hold family issues close to the vest. I mean, who shares family issues?
Perhaps, I don't know. But do you think, like, in that moment when it came out to the light, were you self-aware of, like, oh, this is, I'm seeing not, like, the fruit, but, like, that God has been faithful and everything how you said in the private came to pass, or did it take you a while and it was like more in retrospect, like you've had years and you're like, oh, I didn't even make that connection, and like, wow, I see how it formed me. Like, was that kind of like an instant of like, oh, okay, I see.
No, not really. I feel like a lot of my life is how I've described before. Like, I have a bag and I keep learning things and I put it in the bag, put it in the bag. And so I think I've learned kind of like real time. Because I remember like having a chip on my shoulder and just like, I know what I'm going through at home, but I'm still doing what I have to do. I'm still serving at church. I'm still leading worship. I'm still trying to lead these people in worship to God, you know, like, and so I think it's the same thing that we've been talking about over and over again. It's just like what we practice, what we do, our actions basically dictate who we are. And especially in times of stress and especially in times of hardships, like those are the times that really your real character comes out. Mm. And so, yeah, I say that I learned everything kind of real time, just like, okay, I can do this. I can, like, I'm not dying. Like, do I wish that it was over 100%? Like, it sucked. But that we were surviving.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was just, you know, prayer, belief, faith, courage, and, you know, basically the why. Like, I was just like, okay, if my mom kind of gave up, she's dealing with all this, my brother is 10 years younger than me, like, there's no way that I can give up and have my brother be the one feeling like he has to, like, carry this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it was real time. I know for some people it takes a while, you know. I forget where in the Bible it says, but basically just like sometimes you don't understand what's going on right now, but with time you'll get it. Mm.
And I think that's so not hard to, yeah, I guess hard to do. Like when you're in that situation that was it was difficult for you, for your whole family, to not let it, like, because you can use that, like, I guess, private time, that time where you're not letting anyone in, you're going on this journey alone, mm-hmm. Whether because you have to or you feel like it's a benefit. In your case, it wasn't a choice, but you have, like, that choice of, okay, am I going to let it be in vain and, like, not get anything good out of it? Or am I going to make this fruitful and extract all the lessons I can, like build my character, help me push forward, help me like put my roots of faith even more deeper. And it seems like you took that route, which I feel like I don't want to say not a lot of people, but at least I've never been in that situation. And I feel like the easier situation would just be like, this sucks. And you just sit and how bad it sucks and you let it like get you bitter or like hateful or upset, playing the victim, and you didn't take that route.
I think mostly it's because and I'm so grateful to God because I feel like I tasted what it was to go through hard times and still experience the presence of God, the love of God. Mm. And it just made the situation purposeful, I guess. Like, to know that you are going through hard times and still feel the presence of God, still see God move, still see, or still be able to be used to lead people in worship and have them, like, brokenhearted and just surrender to God. And just like, there's this, how do I explain it? There is this like beauty behind it. Mm. And it's just, I just kept choosing that path of fighting. And I know that I'm fighting for something. Like, for every situation, there's always a crossroad of you go left or you go right, you know? you, like you said, go through the route of I'm just going to sit here and sulk in it and be depressed and say how bad my life is and that nothing can be done and it's all, you know, like it's the end of the world. There's all hope is lost. Mm-hmm. Or I can continue fighting. And I've just always had that spirit of, yo, at least put up a fight. And I've told you so many times, like, if we're going down swinging. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't compute in my head to just go down and just basically go into the fetal position, just like, all right, just sit there and die.
Yeah.
Like, my thought has always been like, no, go down swinging. If you're going to go down swinging every single time. And yeah, it's in those moments. And I mean, you see it in the Bible time and time again, the moments where you're just like, I'm giving it my all. I've got nothing left. And you're just like, if it's up to me, I quit. Mm. And it's in those moments of like hopelessness. It's in those moments of like, nothing else can be done. God, always just like in those moments, just like God's like, all right, it's my turn now. Mm. You know, now no one can ever take my glory.
Yeah.
There is no way that somebody could take credit for what I'm about to do. And I think, that's always been the beauty in serving God. Mm. Or part of the beauty in serving God is like seeing how faithful he is. Seeing how he moves, seeing how he doesn't let his people down, and to see him come rescue when we needed rescue, to like give us breath of air when we needed it, you know, like give us strength when we needed it. Yeah, like that's inspiring. And you just kind of like have like this rocky moment where you were like knocked out and you're just like, all right, I'm back up. I'm going to keep fighting.
That's beautiful. That resilience. And I hope our kids have that resilient spirit of like, no, I'm going to go down swinging. And even when they're exhausted, mm-hmm. like that last moment. And that's so important to have. But that was, he said, like an example that you didn't have a choice. Has there ever been a moment where you're like, okay, I'm going to, I guess you said with therapy, right? How you could have had the choice of not saying it public, but sharing with your friends, like what's happening, what you're learning.
Like through therapy?
Insight. Yeah.
Like there's a couple of friends I would share with.
Okay. Because my question was, is there a moment where you were like, all right, I'm going to do this kind of more private, like quiet, in the quiet?
I think there's a circle of friends that I usually share those things with.
Okay. So you say it's kind of like the semi-private, like it's with these friends, but it's not with.
Yeah. And sometimes like the friends that I share it with is because I feel like, okay, you would probably benefit from this.
Okay.
So like, let me tell you my story and hopefully it triggers some sort of like curiosity or like, hey, no, that does make sense. Like, let me go check it out. Mm. And sometimes people would just ask me like, I mean, if you have true friends, they're going to ask you, hey, well, how's it going? Like, what's going on in your life? And I mean, if you guys have like a true friendship, like you're not going to really keep that from them.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, there was like a handful of friends that knew that I was going through therapy and they would ask, hey, what are you learning? Or what'd you learn last week? Or what's, you know, and I would share with them. I would share with my brother as well, all the things, because obviously we've gone through similar things. So I would share with him as well. But yeah, handful of people. And yeah, there has been times where I felt, I guess, necessary to like bring it up, mm-hmm. you know, like for example, if somebody comes up and is like, oh, you guys like seem like so great, like almost like, oh, you guys are like the dream couple or whatever. I always go like, I was not like put us down, but I'm just like, let me tell you like a real story.
Let me tell you,
you know, like, let me give you like some hope. Because sometimes we put people on pedestals.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, and just like we want our lives to look like theirs, but they don't know what we've gone through. And so my thought sometimes has been like, hey, no, like let me like bring reality to you. Like this took a lot of work. Mm. We did couples therapy. I did personal therapy. Here's what I went through with this personal therapy. It was not easy. It was hard for me. A lot of it was really hard for me. I felt sometimes lost in going through this, you know, just letting them know. And then having them just be like, oh, like your life kind of sounds like mine now, you know, and just like, oh, okay. There's that bridge of relatability.
Yeah.
And I think with building that bridge, I'm able to be like, first give them the hope and just like, this is where we were before. You might be there now. And this is where we're at now. And it's because of all the work that we did. And it, my hopes is always like, it'll inspire them to like, oh, like there is a way. It doesn't seem like it's going to be easy, but there is a way. Mm. And I'm grateful for where we're at and for us to be that beacon of light and hope.
Yeah, the same. And I think I like how you said using that for a point of connection, a point of, hey, you can get here too, or I'm just like you.
Yeah.
And okay, so what's the fine line? Because I think we've shared on this podcast before of if you have something to say, like say it, right? Like share your testimony is important. I mean, that's what got this podcast in the first place. Like we feel like there is power and so much encouragement in that process. But so what's the fine line? Is there a line? Is there a benefit of doing things in private, not for the sake of like hiding? It could be like good things as well, of like a growing season, a testing season, a character building, a quiet time with God. Like, what's that fine line? Do you think it's obviously, I feel like with anything, God moving in different directions in different people. And so you have to discern his voice and be like, God, where do you want me right now? What should my next move be? Do you think it depends the intention, the reason, what they're doing? Like, should there be a line? Should just be like, no, everyone should just say everything or be wise?
That's tricky because I think there's a lot of scenarios, a lot of different ways about it. I think to be able to be, to not have that line of privacy, I think you need to be a high level of mature.
To not have privacy.
Yeah, to like be more open and like basically say, you know, like, I mean, I feel like you're like, you've done some things in semi-private, but I feel like you're just an open book and you invite it. Like, ask me any question, I'll answer anything. Like, I won't hold anything back. And you usually don't. Like whenever the topic comes up of finances or sex or whatever, you're just like, open book, here I am. Like, here's our whole life. But you need like a high level of maturity to be that. Because if you don't have that high level of maturity, you're going to get negative comments. And sometimes they're uninvited, but you know, people have opinions. And you have to be, again, mature and knowing like, okay, this person, you know, they don't understand or whatever. Or just stand firm and rooted and you're like, I know what I've gone through. I know what I'm saying. Like, all right, if you don't like it, it's okay. You know, I've had those moments where I've been open and vulnerable and people don't understand it and they have negative comments. And I'm like, all right, you didn't understand it. It's fine. It's okay. For example, I was having a conversation with my friend Sergio this week. And I forgot how the conversation came up, but it was basically like, you know, he's got some things going on in his life. And he's like, I don't like telling my friends from work. And I'm like, why don't you like telling them? He's like, well, they know I'm Christian. And because they know I'm Christian, it feels wrong for me to tell them how bad my life is. And so... He's like, if I tell him how bad my life is, I feel like I'm giving a bad testimony, basically, of like, oh, you're like, he feels like the people are going to be like, oh, you're Christian and you're suffering like that. Like, what's the point of being Christian then? And I told him, I'm like, listen, like, if you don't want to share, don't share it with them. But I'm like, there is a possibility that there will be a benefit to you sharing that Because if you present that, my life is perfect because I'm Christian, I'm like, you're presenting something that's false. And then you're also just feeding into the stereotype of, oh, all Christians act like they have it all together. Mm. All Christians act like they're holier than thou. All Christians, you know, are so self-righteous and, you know, they just try to make it seem like they're always put together.
Yeah.
Like a Pharisee, really. And then I told them there could be a lot of benefit to you sharing. Because then they go, oh, you're Christian and you're going through this. You're just like us. And not only that, but tell me that their curiosity won't be piqued of like, why do you follow God?
Mm-hmm.
Like there must be a reason why you're going through all everything that you're going through and you're still following it and being faithful to God.
Sure.
And then I'm like, when you tell them the whole story and then they watch as your character is being formed and they watch as your character is shining and they watch as you start to level up, you're given a testimony without even having to speak any words anymore because they know that you'll always go, it's because of God that I made it out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so in that instance, I'd be like, okay, yeah, be more open. But like I said, like it really depends. Like there might be that person that needs to learn how to be more private. And mm-hmm. so it's harder. It's a more of a challenge for them. There's some people that just really just don't want anybody to know their business. And that's okay too. So it just, is there a line? Is there a definitive line? Like, not really. Should you be telling your testimony? I believe so. I mean, in Deuteronomy that we're almost done reading, like it says it over and over again. Tell them, tell them, tell them, tell them so they know. Tell them so they know. The testimony is powerful. It should be told.
For sure.
Now, a question could be is, should you manipulate that testimony? Make it sound better than it really was? Should you wait until you have it all together to finally tell that testimony? Like, yeah. But is there a line? I don't think there's a line. Do you think there's a line?
What you said of highly mature,
mm-hmm.
I would agree, but just be like, I guess equate that to wisdom. Like it comes down to how much wisdom does this person have? Because I think not every situation, how you said, can be treated the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, I do think there is power in saying in real time, like how I've done of, I can't run. Look at me. I'm working on it. Look at me. I've gotten better. Like where people are saying, wow, I saw that in the summer, like she did not run. And I saw now, like she's about to do this half marathon. And I believe it because I know her. I saw her and like seen it in real time. I think there is power to that. And so some things it's like invite people into your story. Like God doesn't call us to be perfect or have it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And how you say, even in the rough times, like the church, the capital C church, like of God, grew and gained more followers when it was under persecution.
Mm.
And the more, especially in the Roman Empire, like when Christianity was illegal, the more that people were persecuted, the more that people were like, oh my gosh, they really believe in this God. And how you, exactly what you said, it piqued their curiosity and they're like, wait, they're willing to die for their faith. They're willing to like still follow him and they don't get the outcome that, you know, we want or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And like millions of people converted to Christianity under persecution. And so for sure, it's like, don't wait until you feel you have it all together. But I do think it goes back to wisdom. Or even how we said like this private, semi-private, because there's things that you can't do while eyes are on you. Like there's just things you're going to have to do alone.
Mm-hmm.
And just like a flower grows, like in the seed, where it's dark and it's alone, like it'll come up and it'll bear fruit, and there'll be time where it's like you see. But there's things that the phone, you can't be on live, or you can't post it, or you can't bring people into that, that you're going to have to do day in and day out for character building, for testing of your faith, for discipline reasons. And I think you have to be wise of like, okay, when is it not right now? Like, when is it time to share about it? And when is it time to like just focus and power through and just me and God and that growing season?
I think what you're talking about is like somebody having a seed and basically saying, this is a tree. Like, you're calling it a tree before it is a tree, which you can declare, you know, what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. But I think what you're talking about is like, plant the seed. The seed doesn't sprout that same time that you plant it. You got to be consistent and disciplined in taking care of that seed, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what you're talking about, is just like the discipline that you have behind the scenes, the actions that you're taking behind the scenes, the wisdom that you're using behind the scenes to cultivate something that's going to be greater than what it appears at the moment. Mm-hmm. And that some people tend to brag about a seed, calling it a tree, not yet a tree. And then it comes down to the question of, why are you doing that? Are you looking for that affirmation from those people? Like, I think about the people that go to the gym for the first day and they're just like, take a picture, like, I'm back in the gym, gonna get ripped. Next day, I'm back in the gym, doing all these things. And then all of a sudden, shapoof, gone. Where was the discipline? Where was the consistency? Where was that? And so that's what I feel like that's what you're basically getting at, is like, what are you doing in the background? What are you being consistent in? You know, and that's a perfect segue to me asking you, why is it that you brought up this topic, and what have you been doing in the private or semi-private that peaked this?
And so that's a great example of the tree and putting that imagery. But I think, again, that could go like the bad way as well, where you have a tree and you see like fruit dying or it withering up. And it's because in private someone's doing like what they're not supposed to. And so my thing is like, whatever you do in your secret place, whether consistency and discipline, it will bear fruit. And whatever you do in your secret place, whether it's destruction or lying or just perverseness, it'll show up. That's like what I'm trying to get at. That it could be positive and negative. Does that make sense? So I'll give you a positive and a negative, and then that will basically answer your question that you asked me.
Okay.
So a negative, let's start with an always bad news first, is if you guys didn't hear that podcast where it was like, oh, in private, like we were sinning. Like I was, well, we were fornicating. Mm-hmm. But I'll take the blame. I was fornicating. And I think like...
Why are you taking the blame?
And I think in how it like came out was like our marriage was not doing good. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was just because of that, but I do think if you sin, you open doors just
yeah,
like for the enemy to start accusing and you start attacking and each other or whatever. And so I think it did reflect in that our marriage was off to a poor start. Mm-hmm. Or even like, with my like texting the other guy, right? Like when we're, like it came out to the light, like you found, I think everything you do in the darkness will come out and it's going to affect.
Have you told that story before? Because if not, people are like, what guy? Who did you text?
I think we did the first marriage podcast where people were like, oh my gosh.
Okay.
We have to listen back to it. Go listen.
Because that if not, they're going to be like, What guy?
That was the first podcast.
Their marriage is in shambles right now.
Where everyone was like, that was so good. Thank you for being vulnerable. I think.
Okay.
If not, let us know. Maybe we need to do a podcast on it and get all the cheese, man. But I'm pretty sure. And like it came to light. And yeah, so that's where I see like the negative. Mm-hmm. Like things will be found out. What you do in your secret place. And it's going to, again, if there's a tree, it'll like start rotting or your fruit will go away. And you're just like, what is happening to that tree? We thought it looked like a beautiful tree. Mm-hmm. And this is withering, right? And the positive, I think, yeah, like with my running, like I don't post. I thought I would be the person because I was that person like at the beginning. Like I kept saying like Pilates mommy, like, mm-hmm. like, oh, running, like super excited. And I'm like, do people know that I work out like 6 days a week? Like before that was insane to me. Like when I would see people saying 5 to 7 days a week, I'd be like, nah, that's crazy. Like go every other day, maybe Monday through Friday. And here I am like 6 days a week almost, like at, for sure at least once on the weekend. And that was like, what, the weekend? And so, I mean, I guess, yeah, I'm like tooting my own horn, but I'm not posting that every day. And younger me, I feel like would have. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, or like been like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Like put it out there. People, like, do people know? But it's going to come out in other ways of like just how healthy I am. Hopefully my long life. Hopefully this half marathon where it's a hard thing to run. Like not everyone could do 13.1, but I'm gonna be excited, like feel strong, feel encouraged, and not like I haven't been working out Monday through Saturday, mm-hmm. or whatever, you know. Or yeah, and like I think in my spiritual life, like there's, I don't know if we said this story before. I don't know like how much exactly I want to share right now, but people know like we came from prior church to RTLA. And we were so young. Well, I mean, we still are young, but we were so, we're young now. We were like so young. And I had like a leadership role and I don't think I was ready. I think when you're in churches where there's need, you're kind of just given things because there's a need or because of like who you are and stuff. And so one of my worries in going to any church that we were going to step into in the new season, I was like, I don't want to just be given something just because of who I am or because of not a need, because there's a need in the kingdom of God. Like, you know what I mean? But just like me not being ready. And so that was like my main concern. And you would kind of joke about it like, no one's going to care who you are or whatever. But I think now, like, I decided to say no to a lot of things in the beginning. Really, like, my prayer life was just, like, when I, as embarrassing as it sounds, like, when I eat food, maybe before bed, like, it wasn't a discipline. It was just like, oh, yeah, like, when I remember, just whatever, right? And I decided, no, I'm gonna like take it serious. Like I'm gonna dedicate time like to prayer and to read my Bible like consistently. And part of that, like, again, I wasn't looking for anything and a lot of opportunities, great opportunities have like just come to my direction, me not even looking. And that goes to show that I'm not even bearing, I don't think, I mean, you can say like, I don't feel like I'm bearing fruit where it's like, look at me in this area. It's just like naturally speaking for me. And so then it attracts and it's like, hey, do you want to do this? Do you want to take up this position? And so I think that's another example. I gave like a physical example and spiritual and the positive and then a negative example. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And so I think for sure the marathon and like things to come, I think they keep saying they wanted to be serious. I'm not going to say anything until after we can talk about it post event, but I think this week is an exciting week for me in the spiritual and physical, where I texted you of like, it's kind of awesome to see now because I feel we've been through a lot of like negative things coming out of things like that were popping up in, again, individually or in our marriage that we had to take care of. And we couldn't no longer ignore because the fruit was evident of like, oh my goodness, like we're not being nice to each other or we're hurting. And so going to therapy, like having to do huge life adjustments, it wasn't just like our marriage, it was just individually. Like I talked about my first year teaching. And so it was so bad and like I wasn't ready for it. And just things that were popping up and out of need, having to cover that. And now I see the opposite of that, of like me doing the work, not behind the scenes, because you said I'm semi-private, mm-hmm. but like, I guess being consistent and being disciplined, and now like the positive of, okay, it's time. And not because I said it's time, which I think is a beautiful thing, because I'm such a go-getter. Like if I want something, like I'm going to get it. Like I'm going to find a way. And I will pressure and push until someone says yes. Like, I will book. And I didn't have to do that. And I think the fact I didn't have to do that, like, speaks a lot because, like, I'm waiting on God's time. And I think the fruit is speaking for itself. And, like, God has just been, like, so faithful. And I think it is how you said maturity. Like, I'm 30 now. It's different. Like, I'm not looking at how I said, like, to post Monday through Friday of like, look what I'm doing, look what I'm doing, look what I'm doing. And so I think that comes like with wisdom and like, God, what do you want this season to look like for me? And us figuring out, there's times I had to bring you in that of like, hey, I need your feedback. Like, is this a season where I should say no? Is this a season where we shouldn't serve? Is this a season now where you think I'm ready? And being wise and just following your lead and hearing like where the direction should go.
Yeah, I think what I hear you say is there's a lot of power in doing things in quote unquote private. But what I'm kind of hearing is that private really means what you originally said. It's not so much not sharing, it's the reason why you're doing it. Because there is a huge difference between you doing it for the affirmation of people and you doing it in quote unquote private, which is more because you're kind of surrendering to God and just like through this process, like mold me, shape me, do what you want to do, right?
Yeah.
If you live for the affirmations of people, you will die by the rejection of people. And that is basically a house of cards. Yeah, you can build it up. Might be tall, might be big. But one false move and that thing's coming down. And there's power in doing things in that privacy of like, I'm going to do this because I know it's right, although it is hard. And God, I want you to walk with me through this. And I feel like it's the same thing that we've been talking about over and over again, where all these actions that you're taking, all this consistency and this discipline, all these desires that you have, it's basically just a cultivation of your identity. And I feel like when you practice those things in that quote unquote private, in that privacy where it's just like, it's not about people's affirmations. It's because, let's say, for example, I know that God has something great for me, or I know that God has something great and I have to do these things to be able to be prepared for the opportunities that are going to be presented to me. Or I know God is going to use me greatly and I need to be the sharpest tool in the shed. And to do those things in that quote unquote private, it really puts down and spreads roots into God. And it was what I was telling you earlier today. I'm like, when you do that, the affirmations of people don't no longer matter. When you do that, you know what you've been through. You know your consistency. You know the dedication and the determination. You know those days that you didn't want to, but you still did. You know those days that you had to have perseverance. You know those days where the feelings almost got the best of you, but you still overcame. Like, you know. You and God know. And through that process, you know, and you've accepted that God has molded you. And in that private, it's just like, it goes back to the, you've been faithful in a little, so I'll set you up for greater. And that's basically what it is. You have been faithful in the spaces where you were not getting affirmation. You've been faithful in those spaces where you weren't looking for it. You didn't need it. You had this season of silence. And I feel like God's like, I see you. We've been walking together. I know your heart. God's not going to use somebody with an incorrect heart. I think by the mercy of God, it's possible for like an instance of like glory to come out. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about like ministry, when we're talking about building his kingdom, when we're talking like, God needs a correct heart. And I feel like when you practice all this, and this is why I kind of dispute what you said about the tree, because I feel like when you have a seed and you know the importance of this seed and you do all these things, you cultivate, you're disciplined, you water, you take care of it, all this stuff, like, you know the cost. You know the cost of what is growing inside of you. You know the cost of turning this seed into a tree. You appreciate it. And I mean, I'm a big, big, big advocate of like, if it's easy, you're not going to appreciate it. If it's hard, you're going to appreciate it. You know the cost that you paid to get it. Mm-hmm. And so I dispute the part where you said, if you don't take care of it, you know, it might go bad or whatever. I feel like most people, won't take it for granted, because most people won't go through the process. The people that would have destroyed that tree, mm-hmm. are the people that never made it to get a tree. Now, do I think I use, like, let's say, and I see your face, I use the example of Jesus going back to, what was it, Nazareth, where they made him common. And I've used that example before, because there are times where you can have extraordinary things and you get so used to it, or you kind of like familiarize yourself with it, where you go, eh. It's almost like getting new shoes. When you first get those brand new shoes and you paid for them, you're like, I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to clean them every single time that I wear them. I'm going to make sure they don't crease. And then a couple of weeks go by, you familiarize with yourself with them. They no longer have that shine to them. They no longer have like this, like, oh my gosh, I needed them. No, now you've had them. Now they've become common. And now you're like, eh. There's that possibility too. But I guess I'm projecting and thinking that everyone's going to think like me, but I feel like a lot of people, if they put in the work, like, they're not going to squander it. Now you can tell everybody what you're smiling about.
At first, I want to say thank you. That was super beautiful what you told me. And, well, you already told me, like, this before, but it does mean a lot, especially coming from you, where you see like the day in and day out. And so you being able to say that, I feel like speaks volumes. And so thank you. But going to your other point, I have to disagree. Because what comes to mind is David, who did both. So in the quiet, he was anointed king.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until he was ready and he was prepared and worked a long time. And he didn't get in an instance, right? And then when he was king, he sinned in the quiet. And that had to come out. Prophet Nathan found out.
Do you think he worked to be king, though?
I think he was getting ready. Like, he had the heart. Because he was a man after God's own heart, right?
To me, it seems like...
He just poof.
It just happened. Like, God was like, this is going to be yours. And I don't really read an instance where, like, David was, like... I don't know, like, worked for it.
Okay,
like,
so you don't think that his character was being built in that time to be a man after God's own heart? To
I mean, be the warrior? The kid was anointed, and he just went back to, like...
Yeah,
the way you read it, it goes, I'll go back to doing what I'm doing.
Which people argue that shepherding taught him a lot about how to be a king after God's
100%.
Own heart.
Okay.
The worship, remember the worship that he used?
No. But what I'm saying, he was doing that before he was anointed.
Yeah, in the quiet place.
Okay. Then he was anointed and he goes, and it seems my interpretation, I'm going to go back to what I'm doing.
But that was all prepared behind the scenes for when God was like, I see what you did in the quiet. You're now ready for the kingship.
No, it wasn't now you're ready. Now you're being anointed. He was not appointed for...
That's what I'm saying, though. That, like, he got his, like, mindset ready. There was, like, it wasn't just poof. It was, like, in the quiet, there was preparation. There was character building. There was having to see Saul and kill his pride of having the ability to kill him and say no. Like, he was tried and tested and became a man after God's own heart. And in the quiet, he sinned.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to light.
Mm-hmm.
And it bore fruit. It affected his family for generations.
Yeah, and the argument is he was a man of battle and he stopped going to battle. And the argument that I've heard or the preachings that I've heard is like, you need to continuously be a man of purpose. Like, when you stop, what was it? Like, when he stopped going out and doing what he was meant to do, is when he low-key kind of like got bored and was like, okay, what am I going to conquer out here? And he looked at Bathsheba and he's like, okay, I'm going to conquer that. When he was so used to being out in the field conquering, like.
But that's what I say, because I think how you were speaking about like the cost and knowing it, and so that's going to keep you from moving forward. Like, it should.
Mm-hmm.
That should be enough. But I never want to fall under the impression that, okay, I have put my time in the quiet, and now God is like bearing fruit and being faithful and like taking me to the next level, I guess, and just be like, oh, I'm good now. Like, I feel like it's so easy to fall into that, seeing it as common or seeing it as, oh, this is what I just do, like getting used to it.
Like, you become complacent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or pride kicks in. And so that's one thing where I'm like, okay, God, like, I know I can, because I've had moments in the past where like I wasn't a good person or I was in a good headspace. And so now that I'm like, okay, this trajectory has been moving up, but I don't want to be naive to the fact that it's always just going to be like, like I'm always going to be like this, like that I won't have moments of weakness or I won't have whatever. And so being like self-aware of like, okay, trying to catch myself and being intentional to not fall into that, because it happens and you see it happen with men and women of God. men and women in the Bible. And so it's like, all right.
Yeah, I think you always just have to have that mentality of it's not about me. I am a worker of God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. Easier said than done, because, I mean, although sometimes people don't have the end goal in mind, let's say being king or whatever God promised you, getting that. It can be somewhat corrupting when you do get it. You know, and it's not that God meant it to be corrupt.
Yeah.
But when you get into some sort of like a sort of spotlight, there are things that are introduced into that spotlight that seem like a blessing or seem like this should be part of this picture. But if you don't really have the discernment to be able to see things for what they really are, you'll call things good when they're not good. And I think people get lost in that spotlight sometimes. And again, I go back to it's very few and far in between of the people can like that can stay faithful, you know, and you have to always remember where you came from, what it costs, what your purpose is, you know, and it just goes back to it's not about me. And that is another reason why we emphasize as well, you shouldn't be doing life alone. You need a spouse. You need a group to keep you grounded. Like, whoa. Like, don't forget why. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget that you're a tool of God. Like, nothing more and nothing less. You know?
That's good. Because I've seen that even, I know you mentioned ministry, but even with people's fitness journeys, where a few couples, like, they were not healthy, maybe like overweight or whatever. And they see fitness journeys and you start seeing them like take like pictures of each other. And then it just ends up being alone. And then you're like, wait, what happened? And then you're like, oh, they got a divorce. And you're just like, what? Like they were in it together. And you know, like anything, like once you just, I guess, grow up and you see the world and you're just like, oh my gosh, like people are just, you know, unfortunately like falling left and right. Which I always am like, oh, I need to bring my dad on the podcast. Cause he's a great example of that. Like, as you were talking, I'm like, wow, you're describing someone like my dad. And I'm hoping like, oh, well, I'm related to him. So, but even that, like, they can't just be like, oh, it's not going to happen to me. But like asking those questions of like, what made you like not, was it just God alone? Was it, you know, like us that would keep him humble and just be like, dad, come on. Or, you know, like, friends, you know, anything. And so, because I think that's so important. And I truly think of even how we've said this before, how you think in your mind, which is quote unquote like private, is going to reflect on the person who you are. Because that will dictate your actions and that will dictate your habits and that will dictate your identity. And so, even what you think, whether positive or negative, it will bear fruit. And what you do, again, is going to come out. So, do you agree? Did you agree? Because it seems like you said no about the tree withering. And then...
Yeah, no. There are definitely instances. I think what I first said was more of like a, I guess, a fantasy. Like, I wish people would always remember the cost.
Yeah.
Because that would always keep them grounded. Like, you went through all this. You went through all this time.
Even the Israelites, right? Like, it's like, remember, remember. And just how many times they'd forget where I think there's power in that. And so that's why God always said, like, remember. Because there is power in pausing, reflecting, gratitude. Even things that went wrong and like, oh, I don't want to get back there again. And we're just so frail. Like, we forget. Even like Judas, like, I think he knew the cost of being a follower. It's like, you were there. You didn't see like the benefits and just his presence and what happened to other people. And I'm sure he probably experienced some of that goodness in his life. And just something was greater at that moment. And so it's definitely a humbling thought, knowing that it can be us. And so to always like seek God through that.
Yeah.
So I hope this is a good conversation for you guys. We'd love to know your thoughts. And if you like it, please like. But yeah, just remember, again, all of your actions. And we hope that the Better Every Day podcast has done a good job of showing we believe everything you do, everything you think, everything you practice, it will change your future. And we believe that there is power in thoughts and actions. And just 1% can make a huge difference in making you better every single day to have the outcome that you want in life. And so thank you guys for always watching and supporting. We truly appreciate every single viewer, every single subscriber. And we'll see you on the next episode. Bye.
Bye.